gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Pretty boy in the window there, in all the Stephanie Miller swag. Why, look at our lovely spokesmodel, Travis Bone, associate producer, phone screener, who's... actually, this hour of the show should be brought to you by Imodium.
Yeah.
Since Jim is once again...
No, in casa.
Right. But I did get a call as to where he's at in his morning ritual.
Great.
Was he still home when he called you?
Pardon me?
Was he still at home when he called you?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So it would not be safe to have him model something white at this point, but you look magical.
Oh, look. Stunning, isn't it?
The fun drive's only two more days on
what?
Free Speech TV, and now we... And now?
Now?
Now we get to see the swag? Look at that. I love the baseball cap. Very nice.
I know. I feel
hoodie,
like you.
Messenger bag. Look at that. I don't know. Where's the coffee mug? We don't have the coffee
mug. They did not send a coffee
mug.
That's
the one thing I need in the morning, let me tell you.
For $60, you get the coffee mug. $120, you get the coffee mug and the messenger bag. $240, you get the mug, the messenger bag, and the baseball cap. $360, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap, and the hooded sweatshirt.
And for $360, you could look just like this.
Oh, no. God made you that pretty, honey.
I'm gonna go stand on a street corner and promote your show after this. Get some listeners here in L.A.
Sign guy.
Sign waiver.
You can be a dancing sign guy. We got to get a Stephanie Miller. Oh, here, you can take this big Goldwater Miller wooden sign off because you're strong.
Yeah, if he throws that in the air, I'll
twirl that.
Bonk him on the head.
All right. Thank you, Travis. That was awesome. Oh, no. El Cabon.
There's one going out.
Yeah. Thank you, Travis.
And we all know what we get for $1,000. The $1,000 stalker contest. By the way, it's not a stalker contest. Anyone that gives $1,000 can come and do a meet and greet with Mama and the Mooks here in my home studio.
Shouldn't that have been
at my home
more expensive than $1,000?
Yeah, you'd think my life would be worth more, but no.
We should have workshopped that.
Yeah, that should have been maybe spitballed a little bit. That idea is a little half-baked. A little half-baked fundraising idea. Yeah,
a little rough.
I think that's going to cost Free Speech a little more insecurity than it's going to... But, you know... All right. By the way, and Stephen from South Chicago wants to know, will the person who pays $1,000 and wins the stalker contest get his or her own jingle like Sock? You remember Sock?
Yep.
The guy, he was a retired insurance guy. Remember that?
I heard about him.
After I was on Fox News, he sent me a death threat.
Yep.
That he would like to, what did he say? Oh, put his AK-47 in my glory hole and send me off to eternity.
Yep.
Which was nice.
Sock. That sock. It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven. A special friend who's got an AK-47. He's a retired insurance man with way too much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock. It's time for song.
That's coming on NBC next fall.
Right. Maybe that's something we can throw in, a jingle, if you don't kill me. If you kill me, you're on your own.
Sure.
You're on the run.
Okay. Nori, a love letter from Nori.
Oh.
She writes, Dear Steph, I admit I am the person who asked Free Speech TV to send over a famous actor or comedian to move in with you, a la Sunset Boulevard. However, that was just a suggestion to further the reality TV plotline. Happy to see all these interesting people staying over lately. I love your nephew. Yeah, whoever stays over. My best friend Wanda,
right.
My nephew, we just yell upstairs.
Yeah,
and then they're,
hey, get your lazy ass out of bed.
Right, and fortunately they're all hot. Right.
What if one of your $1,000 bidders stays overnight for some reason?
No,
maybe it's a looker or something
be,
like that.
That
you
won't
let them
be
stay
happening.
Overnight. Would they be on
no,
the show the next morning?
That won't be happening.
You're not offering $1,000 a night B&B?
No.
There's plenty of bedrooms up there. You've got like what? 10?
The only requirement, you must be eye candy, so that you can appear on the show in the morning.
So only the hot $1,000 stalkers.
Right.
So
the
what
show.
Chris's friend Jeff.
Oh, well, he's not a stalker. I know him. I've made out with him in my pool.
Yes, you did.
It's a whole
You've
story.
You made out with everyone in your pool at one
yeah,
point or another.
Well, you know.
Didn't you make out with Roland at one point?
I don't remember that, and I'm not confirming it if it's true.
He's got a whole list of people he's made out with.
The show has been great. Love Free Speech TV. Also, I happened to watch The Mouth That Roared. That was the episode of Murder, She... Or no, not... What's the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Murder,
She... Diagnosis Murder. I still get checks for like 47 cents from that.
Do you really?
Yes. I played myself, and I murdered the Dr. Laura character for a better time slot. Which I totally would
you
do.
You would totally do that, yeah.
Right. So it was kind of typecasting.
Amy Goodman,
although
watch
I think
out.
I was suspected. I'm not sure if I did it. I don't remember.
I don't think you did it. I think you were the main red herring.
I was the main suspect.
You were the red herring.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, because I seem creepy and capable of it. Right?
You acted in an overly ambitious way on that episode, if
right,
I remember
correctly. Right, right. That's yes. right. I was an overly ambitious version of myself when I was younger, and I still gave up about anything.
That's right.
That's not acting. That's who she is.
Not anymore. I don't care anymore. I was thrilled to see you interact with Dick Van Dyke. He's a doll. He looked at you so affectionately and got this sweet smile every time you came on. I think it was when I was leaving. I'm not really... Because I pestered him a lot about...
The Mary Tyler Moore
show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, like, sitting in director's chairs next to him thinking, well, so when you turned over the hassock, did that happen every time, or was it just... Okay. Also, don't get me started on your joke about getting killed by your own bronze ass, which is right up there, mm-hmm. right above me, during the next earthquake.
That's right.
Although we were saying it would not take long. You would just scrape the brain matter off of it, make sure that the crime scene tape and the chalk outline don't get in Mr. Fugelsang's way.
Exactly.
Here in the host position, just keep it over there.
We'd put him on the first flight out here.
Right. Right. And
he'd have a lovely house to stay in for the rest of his life if he wanted.
And all your stalkers would know where to find him.
Let me redo my affairs during the commercial break. You're all technically squatters. You just get the houses. You're just here.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be horrible, and you already got the comedy value out of it. Small earthquakes never bother me either, but please, move your ass. Well, listen, here's the thing. I am only here for 3 hours a day, so the earthquake would have to happen, right?
Like the last one.
So if it happened during the show, live on the air, that would be awesome, PR-wise, particularly if I don't die, if it's just a great YouTube clip.
A flesh wound.
Right. Just a funny
cartoon noise. I'd be
happy
to just see your ass fall behind
noise.
Your head during the show.
Right. Well, we only have to pray that it's now, not during the commercial break, because that would suck.
That would
when
suck.
The cameras aren't on.
Yeah, because
so,
you get know. Hurt for nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So the chances are, 24 hours in a day, it would happen at a time.
But are the cameras
I'm not
going during
right
the commercial
here.
Breaks? Could Natan actually piece together a YouTube clip to show the next day?
I'm not sure.
Clocked?
Do you capture what goes on during the commercial break? No?
Oh,
maybe
sucks.
You should.
That's keep a camera on just in case I get killed by my ass.
There are potential here. Think of the fans.
All right. I'm just saying, that would be good for you guys. It would be like golden publicity that would then rocket the John Fugelsang to the top because they'd be like, oh, that's that show, the chick that was killed by her ass. Remember during the earthquake?
Can we still call it the Stephanie Miller Show and just put your ass on the table next
no,
to
No, we should call it the chick who was killed by her ass radio show starring John Fugelsang. Okay.
I bet right, once you're gone, we could get Dick Van Dyke as a guest.
There's a lot of people you could get.
That's the best episode of Diagnosis Murder
There's
ever.
A lot of people you could get once I'm gone.
You could do a reunion movie.
All right. Boy. All right. Speaking of other sexy liberals, Carlos Alzraki, right there.
Yes.
In hour number three with us. Also Michael Tomasky.
Yes.
Of the Daily Beast, who is just knocking it out of the park these days.
Mm-hmm. He's a delight. Great,
yeah, he is a delight, sir. Thank you for bringing that up. All right. Speaking of entertainment, we were talking to Charlie Pierce and Bob Seska, among others, about... So Cosmos is the series...
Right.
Right. That...
It's the remake of the 70s and 80s Carl Sagan series.
It's
series.
Wonderful educational to
right.
be on Sunday nights.
The wacky creationist museum guy wanted to be invited on to debate,
Right.
all that stuff.
But it's already in the can.
Right, yeah. So they gave him their own show.
Tonight, the cosmos is all it is, or ever was, or ever will be.
We are continuing this voyage.
Watch The Answer to the so-called scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson and his so-called science program, Cosmos, as the Fox Network airs the special rebuttal. Fire back. Smash rock. Tune in to see alternative and completely science-like answers to questions of the origins of our universe, our species, and life itself. Watch documented proof that human beings and dinosaurs lived at the same time.
Hey, Dino! Fetch the ball!
See actual evidence that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, with first-hand accounts from Larry King.
Mesopotamia, you're on.
Hear both sides of arguments on theories like evolution, global warming, and gravity.
All explained by me, Skeeter.
Fire back. Smash Rock. Tonight, only on Fox.
And that was from Rocky Mountain Mike and a very famous voice guy, Richard Hensel.
Thank you, kids.
Yes.
Fire Bad Smash Rock. You like Mongo?
Hulk Smash.
Mongo likes.
At least his shirt's not fictional like yesterday's.
All right.
Let me get the fanboys calling in.
Do not get me started. All right. So the... sorry. I didn't mean that. I meant breaking plane, ghost plane news.
Yeah.
Although it appears not to be a ghost plane anymore. Another satellite has relayed images of debris in the southern Indian Ocean that may be from the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. And now I think they're saying it's up to like 122 objects. It's looking...
Yeah, 122 objects alone were spotted on Sunday.
Right.
By the satellite, so...
Right. So a lot of the new information coming out, I mean, the headline I'm looking at, the pilots tried to save 370, which is, you know...
And do we know that?
Well, that's what most analysis is at this point.
That, okay.
You know, despite what Rupert Murdoch tweeted to you about the plane being in Kazakhstan and clearly the pilots being terrorists.
More importantly, what is CNN going to cover now?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They are just in mourning over there. All right, so we'll give you all the latest details on what, you know, and this is a lot of it. This Wired.com thing appears to be the most accurate, according to most pilots.
Yeah.
This is exactly what you would do in an emergency. So, all right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Ooh, a special appearance by Natan and Max. Both handsome and romantic.
Yes.
If you're watching on Free Speech TV.
And now Natan is getting his stalkers.
Yes, Natan, join the club. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward, we're on Jim Watch. He's got his way, hopefully. Hopefully. Imodium has been taken. Can we not get, how could we not get an ad deal from Imodium?
Right.
This show is brought to you almost every day by Imodium. All right, so we've been talking about Ghost Plane, which appears to be a ghost plane no more. 122 objects were spotted in the water in the Indian Ocean, mm-hmm. where, you know, this is one of many satellite images. So it's appearing. There's been bad weather, so it's been hard to get to it and all of that. But, you know, this story is like sort of a like journalism 101 for all this, like everybody's mocking CNN, but all this like wild speculation
sure.
when. You know, and particularly a lot of people saying, like, and clearly you can understand where the pilots fell under suspicion, but the more and more you read about this, I mean, this is the piece I'm reading, the pilots, it appears to most people, most professionals, pilots, that they tried to save the flight. So, and what was the
quote?
Has
anybody told CNN?
Yeah. But the one quote I mentioned last week, I think, is that sometimes terrorism, what looks like terrorism is actually heroism.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, let's go to Britt in Phoenix. Hey, Britt.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
And I just want to, and others. I'm just amazed at Fox News General McNerney.
McNerney.
Spouted off a bunch of crap about saying, oh, yeah, the plane's in Pakistan right now, and I'm afraid they're going to use it for a missile and all that crap. How wrong could you be? How is it possible that in the name of ratings only, disregard disregard the facts and totally vilify, you know, people that were trying to act honorably.
Right.
You know, I just find it totally disgusting.
Yeah. Well,
not only that, everybody seems, you know, everybody in the media, the mainstream media, I say, seems to like, you know, pile on their own theories and stuff. And I realize it's is it a mystery? Yes. Is it sad? Really sad.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people need to just wake up and say, we you know, will you quit spouting off? You know, that's what's wrong with cable TV.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know,
right.
It
becomes
too much time.
The story becomes about the story and not, you know.
Exactly.
And it's about filling time.
I wish they would wake up and say, you know what? Maybe we need less cable TV. Maybe we need more reaching out and having talk shows and stuff. And actually talk to somebody that maybe knows something. And maybe we can reconnect again, because all it does is polarize people. And I'm so sick of it. That's why I'll tell you the truth. I don't watch your show. I don't watch
it. Well, you know, you wonder, too, is, you know, when hopefully this is all solved, you have to wonder, are the pilots' families going to sue for the implication in a lot of, you know, a lot of areas by there is obviously something nefarious or nefarious going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Interesting. Over the weekend, so in a lot of this, again, you know, comes from information, but then misinformation that Malaysia, I guess one of the big things they were saying on Sunday, they clarified, saying the plane's automated data reporting system included no route changes in its last burst, 12 minutes before the last voice communication with flight controllers. And that's important,
mm-hmm.
because before it looked like they obviously were hiding something.
Right.
After they said goodnight, Miles O'Brien, who's, you know, CNN's, he actually is a guy that knows something about this. He is actually an aviation analyst.
Yeah.
He called the fresh details about the flight a game changer. He said, now we have no evidence the crew did anything wrong. And in fact, now we should be operating with the primary assumption that that something bad happened to that plane shortly after they said goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
If a crisis on board caused the plane to lose pressure, he said pilots could have chosen to deliberately fly lower to save passengers. He said you want to get down to 10,000 feet because that's when you don't have to worry about pressurization. You have enough air in the atmosphere naturally to keep everybody alive. So part of the procedure for a rapid decompression, it's called a high dive, and you go as quickly as you can down to that altitude. And that's what it looks like. I mean, it looks like it's consistent with something happened. They went, oh, my God, here's where the nearest airport is. Let's get down.
Yep.
And then, you know, like I say, it seems like it would be consistent that they were overcome with whether it's smoke or whatever. This piece in the Daily Beast today. Have the Malaysians finally stopped trashing the pilots? After 16 days of trying to give their own spin to the few facts available of the flight, the authorities have changed the narrative in a significant way. First came the statement Sunday that the Boeing 777's change of course was programmed, as I just said, at the computer, after, not before. That seems like a basic fact. That how did they get that wrong? So anyway, the later development indicates the course change. After the course change, it descended, I guess, first to 12,000 feet. The fact that they were this was made public suggests an acknowledgement that the timeline no longer supports the implied complicity of the pilots in some kind of criminal act. On the contrary, a picture is emerging of the pilots not only struggling to save the 777, but going through precisely the steps they should in an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of pilots have said. This is, you know, this is all exactly what the steps you would take if something went horribly wrong mechanically. First change to a heading that would take them to the nearest available runway, I guess in Vietnam and Malaysia, that was able to handle that airplane of that size. Second, precipitate a fall in altitude from the cruise height of 36,000 feet that would be consistent with the pilots responding to the effects of either a loss of cabin pressure or the consequences of smoke or toxic fumes in the cabin. In those circumstances, it would be essential to get down below 10,000 feet. Cabin pressure would be done to stabilize, as I was saying. And in the case of smoke, it would be urgent to get to the ground as quickly as possible. So a lot of, you know, and the other thing, a lot of this was speculated about, suggesting there was something sinister about disabling the ACARs made no sense. It was not a surveillance device that could betray intrusion or malpractice on the flight deck. Disabling the transponder, on the other hand, would be consistent with deliberately wanting to render it untraceable, but it would not have made it invisible to radar coverage of the area, civilian and military. So, and then they go on to talk about, remember the talking about the, you know, they went way up and then
went
down. And they were saying all of this was part of planning the idea. Such a bizarre trajectory was designed to evade radar. Anyway, and so all of this stuff that they made to seem like, oh, and the captain had a flight simulator.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we reported back then, a lot of pilots do.
Right.
And they do stuff like this, program what they would do in an emergency. So, interesting stuff. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, I was a bit of a whore. Still, I had some fun.
There is no thrill equal to looking into some guy's eyes and thinking, I don't know your name, you don't know mine, but for the next 8 minutes, we are going to rock this gas station bathroom right off its foundation.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Talking about the Malaysia Airlines flight and all the latest, Malaysian Airlines chairman, of course, yesterday.
The aircraft is now lost, and that none of the passengers or crew on board survived.
Yeah, I was finishing this Daily Beast piece. It said that Captain Shaw and his much younger and far less experienced first officer will never be able to answer personally for the fate of their airplane. Dead men cannot defend themselves. Right now, none of the scant facts, frequently contradictory, sometimes withdrawn, often suspect, released, justify the way that they have been traduced. And, yeah, I imagine, you know, their families are not going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
The Australian Vice Chief of Defence.
We're not searching for a needle in a haystack. We're still trying to define where the haystack is. So that's just to put it in context.
And also, the ocean, rude, won't stop moving.
Right? Sheesh. Storms?
Fright?
Keep coming.
All right. The Australian Defence Minister.
It is rough. Sea State 7, you know, there are 20, 30 metre waves. It is very, very dangerous, even for big Panamax-class ships.
Yeah. All right. So, and as we were saying, the latest is that 122 objects were mm-hmm. spotted in the ocean. I mean, it's seeming likely that this is the wreckage, but, you know, we'll see. All right.
Someone said yesterday, it could have moved at least 500 miles from where it originally crashed just because of ocean currents.
Right. Yeah, and that it's been, as you were saying, a lot of, you know, weather in the yep. area that has prevented the search. So... All right, the other big news, Supreme Court, dear God. You know, I know this will come as a shock to you. I'm not a lawyer.
Really?
Or a legal animus.
Or analyst.
Right. However, I just don't even get this. I don't. I'm reading a lot of great pieces today, one by Sandra Fluke,
mm-hmm.
which will give Rush Limbaugh an opportunity to call her a slut again for
yep.
a week and lose what remaining advertisers are in talk radio. Oh, sorry. Just a personal aside. Move to strike.
Sure.
But
hey, that was very lawyerly of you.
Thank you. See? I could pass.
Yep.
Katrina Vandenhoevel wrote a great piece. Sally Cohn. I cannot imagine the Supreme Court is going to that they would rule the wrong way in this case. This is.
It sounds like they are.
This is an incredibly slippery slope.
Yes.
Honestly, it just logic. You don't have to be a lawyer to go. This would allow an employer to impose any of their beliefs on you
mm-hmm.
if this is okay. And we've talked about this before. He's a Christian scientist. Oh, well, I don't believe in blood transfusions, so I'm not going to, you know, have your insurance cover that. I mean, you know, AIDS treatment, alcoholism treatment, you name it, anything that they say they have a religious or moral belief against. I mean, how could you operate in the public sphere like this?
I'm afraid that Citizens United has opened up this can of worms, meaning that corporations are people, according to the Supreme Court, and people and corporations can have political and religious views. I'm afraid that's how they're going to rule.
I know. It's just patently absurd to me.
Yes, it is.
That a corporation can have religious views. It's the people.
I don't understand
it.
I didn't understand Citizens United.
I didn't either. All I know is Samuel Alito said, oh, no, that's not what will happen. That won't let all sorts of money in. Oh, Mr. President, you are wrong. Oh, as it turns out,
the
president was exactly right. Yes. What he said. State of the Union about what would happen with Citizens United. Cecilia Richards from Planned Parenthood talking about the Hobby Lobby case.
What's at stake in this case is whether millions of women and their right to preventive care, including birth control, is trumped by a handful of CEOs who have their own personal opinions about birth control.
This and Sandra Fluke mm-hmm. wrote this piece in the Washington Post as at the Supreme Court a potential catastrophe for women's rights.
Yep.
She likes a lot of the same points that we were just talking about, but very well. I forgot she's a social justice attorney, actually.
Oh, okay. So
she's running for state. What is it? Yeah, California State Senate.
So she's allowed to be all lawyery and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So stipulated.
Ipso post facto.
Right. She writes, corporations are not people. Corporations cannot have religious views. If religious rights are extended to corporation, it puts us on a slippery slope where any private company could argue that religious beliefs prevent it from offering vital employee protections. Because that's what I mean. It goes not just to medical services. It goes to other protections. She said laws that include religious protection have never given corporations the right to have religious views, and it would be a terrible idea to make such an enormous change to our legal precedent now. Our laws protect individuals' private religious beliefs, but when you cross over into the public sphere to become a corporation and make a profit off of the public, you must abide by the public's laws.
Right.
That all makes perfect sense. And then she talks about her testimony, remember, that was so mocked by Rush Limbaugh. As I testified, women also need birth control for many other medical reasons, including a relief of painful health problems like endometriosis. Mm-hmm. I mean, how is that not scary to you when you think about whoever your boss is, that it's up to them? So you have endometriosis, but they decide you can't have the medicine you need for that because right. it's also used for something else. I mean, your boss is not a doctor.
Nope.
Depending on the exact, well, in your case, I am. I'm both a lawyer and a doctor.
Yeah, and that makes me very, very
afraid.
All right,
I'm not, but I play one on the radio, so. You imagine, you'd have to call me during cocktail hour to ask if you could have certain medicine. I'd be like, no.
The only kind of medicine you take is wine. So
right.
that's what you'll prescribe for everything.
Right. I'll be like, what's wrong? You're like, I broke my leg. Wine.
Wine.
That's all you get, and the cheap kind.
The $2 chuck.
Depending on the exact ruling, any for-profit corporation could cut off its employees' insurance coverage for blood transfusions, vaccinations, or HIV treatment, all of which some Americans have religious objections to. Any critical health coverage the boss doesn't agree with could be eliminated, mm-hmm. which is exactly what we're talking about.
Yep.
Sandra goes on to say, moreover, we cannot pick and choose which religious beliefs should be allowed to overrule laws the rest of the public must follow. I mean, why do people make it sound like, oh, well, that's ridiculous? No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
A lot of people are Christian scientists. They have certain religious beliefs. That would be like, okay, you can't. Is that the religion that believes you can't have medical treatment for anything?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you can't have blood transfusions.
Yeah, prayer is your medical treatment.
Right. So what? You're in a car crash. What the hell? You know,
you better
no,
start
no.
praying.
Right.
What if your company is anti-gay and right. refuses to cover your, you know, HIV medication?
Right. We are at risk of giving any person or group with a religious qualm the legal ability to refuse to comply with numerous critical employment laws, not just those related to health insurance. That's what I was saying, is this isn't even just health insurance. Americans ultimately could lose protections against employment discrimination, guarantees of equal pay, and so on. Religious objections have been raised to these types of laws before. Until now, we've maintained the right balance. This country has always valiantly protected the rights of citizens to practice whatever religion they want in their personal lives, but we've also ensured that employees, students, customers, and the public are protected in the public sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that goes to the heart of the case to me. Let's go to Mike in North Carolina. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I had a different take on this, and I think this could be good if the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby in order to hold corporations accountable. Because the way the corporate structure works is that the individuals are kind of indemnified against any prosecution if the corporation commits a crime. Now, if they're ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby, what happens is the veil between the individual and the corporation is now torn down. So if the individual can now imbue the corporation with personal religious beliefs, they now are, the corporation now is effectively an individual. So
right.
that veil between the individual and the corporation is no more. So the government could prosecute the corporation, and then why not go after the individual's assets in order to make retribution to the families if, say, a company steals $100 million? So I think corporate America is terrified of this ruling because you now get this blurred line between the protections that corporations offer individuals because now you've kind of
right.
you know, crossed the streams of what, you know, the individual protection versus
yeah.
the corporate
no,
protection.
I hear you. I hear you. Blurred lines. Robin Thicke, get on it. We point the giant styrofoam finger at you. Just saying.
And
right.
then rub it on our crotch.
Exactly. What? Mike in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
I just wanted to, you know, this is a very, as you said, it's a very slippery slope. And as someone once said, I don't think you can recognize a corporation as an individual until Texas executes one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There
you know, this is a very scary, scary scenario here. I mean, what's next? You're going to, hey, we don't believe in anyone in this company being left-handed.
Yeah. I mean Sally Cohn.
You can't legislate this.
Sally Cohn writes, right.
To me, this is a separation of church and state issue.
Yeah, and you know, Sally Cohn writes today, with some super glue from Hobby Lobby and some wood from Conestoga, you could build yourself one heck of a dangerous slippery slope.
That's right. I love Sally Cohn.
Aww.
Brilliant. But thank you,
that's
guys.
A precious laugh. All right. Thank you, Muttley. Okay. Yeah, that's the other, by the way, because everybody calls it the Hobby Lobby case, but it's actually three companies,
yeah.
Including Conestoga Wood.
They're a cabinet maker.
Right, exactly. Sally writes three companies, including Hobby Lobby, say it would require them to cover forms of contraception the owners regard as equivalent to abortion. Bob Seska pointed out yesterday, first of all, that's a load of crap right there.
Because it does not
that's
induce abortion.
That's what you should be arguing, too. These are not... You know, it is. What, here we go again with the science debate. It is not after the embryo is implanted.
Right.
So it is not an abortion pill.
Nope.
So first of all, they're wrong on the science that the whole case is based on. So nicely done, Bob Seska. I just want to say. I have great taste in writer boys. All right, 45
minutes. You really do.
Back with all the latest on this and your thoughts and ours. 45 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
No, 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 no. Don't do that to your dog. No, oh.
It's time for Monkey Man Ass and Chicken. I am totally losing it. Okay.
I think I look hungrier than he does.
Would you like the rest of that?
Sure.
Okay. There you go. Sorry,
aww.
Max. Sorry,
you're
Max.
The best boss ever.
Thanks. But you know what's the only medicine you can have for anything that happens to you?
Wine.
Wine. That's right. Depending on how the Supreme Court rules. It'd be like, I need a new, I don't know, whatever, you know, kidney. I'll be like, no, wine.
Yeah.
Because that's the only medicine. That's true. I've never done any kind of drug. I just believe in, you know, healthy eating, exercise. I'll be like, you can go spinning or you can have wine. That's
I am it. Not going to spin.
That's it.
You will never find me in a spin
you
class.
You might lose muscle mass. Ooh.
I don't like being
cardio.
Yelled at.
Ooh, cardio.
No, it's not the cardio. It's I don't like being yelled at.
Why? You work with me. All right. Let's.
Yeah, I get enough yelling at work. I don't need to go
stop!
To a...
Okay. David in California. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, so I haven't heard this brought up, but this also allows companies to deny coverage to a single female who happens to get pregnant. I mean, they're going to deny birth control, so your single female is pregnant. They'll deny coverage for the pregnancy and any prenatal care. And what does this do to the children of single mothers? Are they going to deny coverage to them also because it's against their religious views?
Well, yeah, exactly. You could discriminate against unmarried women that get pregnant. I mean, it is a huge slippery slope.
Yeah.
It's the only way to put it. We were saying, love the there's a lot of great editorials about this. We were talking about Sally Cohn's, Sandra Fluke. There's one in the LA Times. Hobby Lobby case defenders of religious freedom should be careful what they pray for. I mean, this to me just seems incredibly cut and dried. Mike in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hiya.
It's kind of ironic that before this case, Hobby Lobby and Conestoga both offered birth control when they had private insurance.
Ah.
Now, all of a sudden, now because of the ACA, they don't want to offer it anymore.
Well, that's what I mean. You go, is this more just like anything anti-Obama, or is it, you know, the religious...
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Right.
That's what it seems like to me.
Or you know, Mike, just the basic, like, oh, we don't want any regulations of any kind. You know, we don't have to follow any sort of, you know, rules. The anti-Obamacare attorney yesterday... the anti-Obamacare attorney.
We never thought we'd see a day when the government would tell our family we could no longer run our business in a way that affirmed the sanctity of human life, when the government would actually force us to be complicit to the potential destruction of human life.
Oh, dear God. Yes. As I just said, Bob Seska pointed out, first of all, the whole underpinning of this case is a load of
bollocks.
Right. It is bollocks, scientifically, because this is not, these are not abortion pills. This is not after, okay. Cindy in Michigan. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi.
Here's the point that I have not heard at all. Unless the companies are actually giving this insurance away with no copays, the employees are paying into the insurance, and they also have copays. So that means they have a shared interest in what is covered. And so they're making it sound like the company has all the decision-making and the employees have nothing to say about it.
Right.
So, and the other thing is here's my dog whistle. If the decision is pro-Hobby Lobby, the Supreme Court is recognizing Sharia law.
Yeah, there you go. There's that again. Well, LA Times, good editorial as well. If the court were to accept this argument, a huge loophole would be created in the Affordable Care Act, which requires that employee health plans cover preventative care for women.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be the only consequence of a wrong-headed decision. American law has traditionally bent over backwards to accommodate individuals forced to choose between obeying the law and complying with their beliefs. If that privilege is pushed too far, public support for accommodating religious objections could erode. Somebody else pointed out the backlash to the anti-gay Arizona law.
Yep.
The first question is easily answered. It isn't just, as Federal Appeals Court in Philadelphia put it, that businesses do not pray, worship, observe sacraments, or take other religiously motivated actions. So they're saying the owners of Hobby Lobby aren't entitled to an exemption for their businesses based on their individual religious beliefs. The mandate doesn't require an employer to do anything more than make it possible for a female employee to decide for herself whether to use contraceptives. When the Arizona legislature passed the religious freedom law, making it easier for businesses to refuse to serve same-sex couples, as I just said, mm-hmm. a national outcry led Governor Brewer to veto it. A similar backlash is likely if the Supreme Court approves an absurd expansion of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Defenders of religious freedom should be careful what they pray for, because there's going to be all
Absolutely.
Sorts of unintended consequences here. Let's go to Michael in Houston. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Steph. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
One of the things that I started thinking about was that this could possibly force people to have to disclose up front before they even get a job what their situation is. So can you imagine, having to tell your prospective employer, they say, hey, we think you're the top candidate. But yeah, well, okay, so look, I'm HIV positive, I didn't see anything in your benefits outline, but I need to ask if that's covered. Or hey, I'm a soon to be single mother, and I'm looking for a job because my current employer won't. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you normally have to talk about before you even get the job, and so you're kind of putting people's private info on display,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to be dealing with however that person feels about somebody that might be HIV positive or a single mother,
yeah.
And so that's...
Well, right, that's what I mean. It opens the door to all sorts of discrimination, that's not based just on health care, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right. No good.
Yep, no good. No,
no
good.
Bueno.
No good. No bueno. Thank you. Terry in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Hey, good morning. How are you folks doing? Great show. I
Thank
love listening to you. And even have to go to work real quick.
Thank you.
Comment in the Hobby Lobby and any corporations, companies that will cherry pick their beliefs, not covering their employees, whether it be gay or lesbian or for abortion benefits or whatever it might be, but they will gladly take customers' money as they come in the store without screening them what their beliefs and or what their sexual preferences are, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Just
really cherry picking their beliefs. So.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. A lot of people going into Hobby Lobby and buying something and going, I'm a big les.
Yeah.
I have HIV. Could I have my money back? Yeah.
Well, Hobby Lobby already doesn't sell Jewy things.
Right. That's their slogan.
Yeah.
Hi, Hobby Lobby, we don't sell the Jewy crafts. Go get those little blue candles somewhere else.
Go to Michael's and get those.
Exactly. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Thank God our health care covers Imodium, correct?
So, until Hobby Lobby wins, and then it'll just cover wine.
Right. Right, which could make it worse, essentially, mm-hmm. right? I'll just be like another jug of wine.
Is that the cause of your distress?
It probably hasn't helped my IBS.
Right.
So I'm looking into gastroenterologists.
Yes, I think that's probably wise. That would be wise. Okay, 58 minutes. Oh, thank God, the crossword's not going to do itself. Thank God you're here. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast comes up at the bottom of the hour. Mm-hmm. Hour number three, coffee with sexy liberal Carlos Alzraki. We are both off to Madison, Wisconsin, where those people, you know, commune with Satan. We will all be communing this Saturday.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan
right.
up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Right, at the Barrymore. Very, very exciting. Yep. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook for all the upcoming shows, including the big Chicago one that the Moops will be at. Jim and Chris. Okay. Susan says, I can see you. She sees dead careers. Just kidding. So excited. I've been listening for several years, but I've been trying to figure out how to see you guys on Free Speech TV and couldn't figure it out till just now. You're on the website. Yes. Freespeech.org or StephanieMiller.com.
StephanieMiller.com is the better picture, I believe.
Yes. I never scroll down far enough with the box. You have to scroll down to the box, ladies and gentlemen. with you guys in it that had that says click here to launch the Adobe Flash Player or something like that, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. It's so much nicer with the visual, not that there's anything wrong with listening to you on Chicago Progressive Radio. Thank you, WCPT, Woot. Either way's fine. All right, although, look, you can see all our magical new swag that you can get if you donate for the Free Speech TV Fun Drive.
Jim, why don't you model it for us?
Oh, thank you. Ooh. Jim used to be a hand model. He had a lot of, what do you call them, hand jobs. They're like, you know,
it's a hand job, you see.
Well, every like time voice, he got a job, it was for his
right,
hands.
They're like voice jobs, but they're, you know, yeah. Right. Sandy writes, hey, Steph, saw a sexy liberal in Philadelphia. Remember with the fire alarm and the trucks out front? Yes. You know why? Because our sexy liberal cause was Planned Parenthood, because there was all that stuff going on. Right-wing sabotage, I'm telling you what. Also in Washington, D.C., inaugural weekend in January, right? I live in Virginia. We need you to make a stop in Richmond. I know my husband will be there for number three. Keep doing what you're doing, Chris, and you and Chris and Jim keep me healthy and sane. Love the show on Free Speech. Thank you, Sandy.
Nice.
Nice, nice, nice. One other universal truth that I think we can all agree on is Gwyneth Paltrow is insufferable.
What was your first clue?
She and, who is it? Her Chris Martin, her husband, they are not getting divorced, Jim. They are going through a conscious uncoupling.
Conscious uncoupling. Mm-hmm.
That makes my eye hurt.
Oh, goodness. I don't know. Where is this from?
From Defamer.
Gwyneth Paltrow may or may not have cheated on Chris Martin with Pete Yorn's brother, but...
Oh,
what? What?
I don't know if that's true. But on her website today, she says of
her website is called Goop.
Is that sounds like a conscious recoupling.
Of their conscious uncoupling.
Whatever.
Part of her.
I guess it's better than unconscious uncoupling. Well, hit you over the head first,
right?
Yeah, and then,
right. If you're unconscious,
then throw you in a ditch.
You can't consciously uncouple. Mm. We have always conducted our relationship privately, and we really. And we because you talk about it on your website, Goop.
Look how private we are. Look at our privacy.
No,
look at it.
Stop taking our picture again.
Stop. No, please don't.
I'm a movie star and I married a rock star so that we would get no attention of any kind. We have always conducted our relationship privately, and we hope that as we consciously uncouple and co-parent, we will be able to continue with blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
All right, I'm sorry for them. I feel bad, but it's just...
It's sad when a marriage breaks up, however.
Yes, it consciously uncouples.
Sorry.
Chris.
It's different.
All right. Oh, you know.
The lawyers are more expensive when you consciously uncouple.
Right.
And what's sad is that sometimes Gwyneth Paltrow is really funny and has a sense of humor about herself.
Yes.
About that reputation.
Yes, and she's beautiful and she's a great actress.
Right.
And yes.
But when she uses terms like consciously uncouple,
right,
it just goes back to zero again.
Less than zero.
Less than zero.
All right. Well, you know, the past
is less than zero.
The past is always sad, particularly... This is apparently is not going to be an option for me anymore. Who knew? A spooky old Fung Lum restaurant to be demolished for Universal City Hotel. That's where Mom used to work.
That's right.
That's where Mom used to work. I used to be a cocktail waitress.
Used to wear your kimono.
My polyester kimono.
And apparently there are otherworldly voices to be heard inside the spooky ex-Fung Lum.
Your former bosses.
I would like to go back and haunt the people that left me a quarter for a tip. Thanks, I can make that phone call I've been hoping for now. Or Kathy, you remember, the career waitress that every time someone ordered vodka, she'd be like, absolutely, positively, that's how you remember it.
Oh, God.
Bank! Oh, the memories are still so fresh.
How long did you work there?
I
couldn't have been that long.
That was a horrible waitress.
Yeah, I couldn't have been that long.
There was an Asian bartender that did not speak a word of English, and so we could never even... Actually, he never actually even knew what I was ordering, so I don't even know if I brought even vaguely the right drinks to people.
Like if you said that
discussion would go on for like 5 minutes, and he'd just be like, I don't...
Like if you said Harvey Wallbanger, would he know what that meant?
No, I would say a beer, and he'd be like, Aya.
Aya.
And I'm like, I don't...
Qingdao.
And then I wouldn't get a tip, because it would take me like 25
Japanese,
minutes
so.
To even Sai's like...
Japanese. Okay.
Oh, God, this is bringing back a lot.
Oh, sweet and sour pork. I
and
said
you remember,
I wanted brown
I got too fat for the kimono because I cursed my life and ate so many goldfish crackers from the bar that I just, like, gradually just sort of...
See, you're like Mr. Creosote.
Yeah.
Monty Python's The Meaning of Life.
Okay, pocket, go throw up.
It's only way
I found that what they guys treat most cocktail waitresses like you're a hooker, is all I'm saying. I'm like, I'm not a hooker. I just graduated from USC.
Well,
I have a degree in theater.
It was the early 80s. Men treated every woman like a hooker back then.
I'm not a hooker. I went to college.
You were one of those women's lib types who went to college.
Yeah, I was one of those libbers.
Yeah.
The one striking Fung Lum Chinese restaurant on the verge of demolition to make way for a new hotel that's part of NBC Universal Evolution Plan.
Uh-huh.
Oh, life moves on. See, and, you know, things are tottering here, so that's not an option now.
No, it's not.
Can't bust it, because now I fit in the kimono after spinning. I could wear that again.
Wasn't there a train?
That's the good news.
Wasn't there a train-themed restaurant up there, too?
Yes.
Yes.
Victoria Station.
Ah, right.
That's right. I remember
used to
driving past that on the 101.
Drinking heavily after a long day.
My parents took a lot of my college friends out to dinner there.
A three-hour tour.
Here's something I didn't know. Fung Lum closed in 1998.
It lasted that long?
And was periodically then used for filming. And most notably, Jim, the 2007 ping-pong comedy Balls of Fury.
Ooh, yes.
Balls of Fury.
Which everyone saw at least halfway through.
Right.
I didn't know it was that big. The pictures...
Oh, it's huge, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea
it was
that
walk.
Massive.
It's a long walk from the bar all the way over to...
God.
Absolutely, positively.
Table 20.
So you remember vodka. Absolute.
Oh, my God.
All right. Glenn,
still leached my positively.
Glenn in Utah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Glenn.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I was calling about the issue with Hobby Lobby, and I think the basis of a lot of these things that they're doing and the Koch Brothers corporations are doing is they're standing on the fact that the Supreme Court says that corporations are people, too. Well, they could fix that issue pretty quick. If they choose to act like a person, then they should be taxed like a person and not a corporation.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Very good point. All right. Oh, I just had another flashback, and then I moved on to the Palomino Country Western Bar as a cocktail waitress.
At Universal City?
No.
No.
That was somewhere in the valley.
Oh, okay.
You've probably
at the Palomino?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and I only lasted one night there until another career waitress told me she would break my arm if I touched the tip tray again.
Yeah, that was a tough bar.
Yeah, you're not built for the service industry.
I know.
You really
are not temperamentally suited.
I see Dwight Yoakam there all the time.
I'm too oversensitive. All right, this is another flashback.
Hands out of my chip jar, and, bitch!
Yeah, you also might be a little too bossy for the service industry. it's gotten you far in other aspects of your
right.
life, just not the service
right.
industry.
Right, it's gotten me right back here to my little home studio.
I said, shaken, not stirred, you dumb bitch. You stupid whore. Are you deaf?
That's my life. That was it. Oh, boy. All right, this is another
yes,
little
go
flashback.
Back to your job as an actress.
You were a walking stereotype.
I was very indignant with my theater degree
yeah.
from USC.
Uh-huh.
How dare you? Where's my nostalgia music? Another. See, this is giving me another flashback as a former tomboy, Jim.
Right.
I was a little bit of a... I looked like a little, you know, Armenian wolf cub.
Sure.
Virginia Christian... I did. I had a natural afro and a unibrow and a very... And I never took off my Plaza Texaco softball shirt from the time... Because we played softball at the park from the time we were all...
Of
all the kids in the neighborhood
did.
Were like
of
six or seven.
Course.
Yeah. Okay. Stereotypes much?
Yeah.
Virginia Christian School bans 8-year-old yeah. girl because her tomboy looks aren't biblical.
Yeah, that's...
biblical?
I heard about this.
I went to Catholic school and I looked like a little dude. I'll never forget once my dad took my brother and I out to breakfast and the hostess said, well, just be you and your two sons.
Oh,
really?
Interesting.
Little dude. Looked like a little dude.
Started then.
An 8-year-old girl, well, Virginia, has been told...
Since then, you femmed it up, so...
Well, you know, you had to fem it up for Catholic school because you had to wear the plaid jumper.
You know what's biblical is killing people for eating pork.
There you go.
She's been told she cannot return to her Christian school because she defied biblical standards by looking like a boy. Doris Thompson, who adopted and raised her granddaughter, said that Sunny is now in public school and she cries every morning to get on the bus. She cries when she comes home because she wants to go back to Timberlake Christian with her friends. You.
Do they have pictures of people from biblical times to know how girly or boy-y they looked?
Right.
Boy-y.
Well, boys, you know, and Jewish boys had to have the, you know, curly cues coming
right.
out from their
yep.
temples. If you didn't have that,
right.
it's like eating pork and cheese.
They didn't have hair salons back then. So I dare say they looked a little more boy-y back then than,
yeah.
Yeah, it's probably than safe people bit. Believe.
The former boy-y looking girl.
Boy-y.
I see.
Chef Boyardee.
Okay. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rocky Mountain Mike says, Steph, if Hobby Lobby isn't going to take care of their employees' birth control, does that mean they'll be handling employees' kids' college tuition?
There you go.
Yes, Mike, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will be totally consistent like that.
Yes, they wouldn't have time
since
for a hobby.
They're so moral and religious. Mm-hmm. All right, Jim, did you see this? My stars. Donald Rumsfeld said the Obama administration has done a bad job handling the situation in Afghanistan, going so far to say a trained ape could have done a better job with diplomatic relations.
Jiminy Christmas. Oh. My stars and garters. Oh. I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Stay classy, Donald. He said this administration, the White House, and State Department have failed to get a status of forces agreement. A trained ape could get a status of forces agreement. It does not take a genius. I'm sure that was a completely unfortunate and non-racial allusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, so that
why
happened.
Isn't he in prison?
Yeah, there's a good question.
Yeah.
There you go. Hague, anyone? Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I have a question. Barbara Boxer brought up an excellent point last night. What was the discussion about Viagra, penis pumps, and things that help men? In the
right.
front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because I find all that stuff icky.
Yeah.
And
listen,
as an employer, I shouldn't have to cover it.
Yeah, well, listen, as someone that just handled one the other day, because they sent some listener sent them to Chris and Jim, I agree. That was actually a Jack Rabbit.
Yes. It was a self-pleasure device.
I don't understand why there was no discussion of that. This is an individual right. It comes down to which rights predominate, the rights of employees versus the rights of employers. And if employers get to make those rights, then what about vaccinations? What if they don't believe in that? We've had this terrible outbreak of measles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And whooping cough. And any of us who were around or are old enough to be around, I got to tell you, that's really frightening. People
yes. Well, listen, you're talking to Team Ebola. You remember the entire show was out with the flu for, 2 weeks in January.
It's just an amazing thing that anyone could vote this way. Now, the only promising thing I think about the whole thing is some of those really conservative justices are really old, and maybe they'll kick off this mortal coil between now and the time the decision is delivered.
Well, right. You have the, religious wacks talking to you, Scalia. But then, it's also they've also been incredibly overly solicitous of corporations, don't you think? So it'll be interesting to see, how they rule here.
Well, whose rights predominate? The right of the employee, and are we competent to make decisions about what we need, whether they're for medical reasons or for what? It's none of their business.
Yep.
You do not cede your rights, your individual rights, through the Constitution that this great country gives us when you go to work for someone.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Sue. Smartest girl in class, as always. We were talking about Sally Cohn's piece, whom we love. In the Daily Beast. She says, what's religious about corporate America cheating workers? She said the Affordable Care Act requires that all private, medium, or large-sized corporations provide health insurance for their employees that covers all forms of contraception at no cost. Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood. Wood. You think they'd care because they have wood. Just saying. They're trying to evade this requirement by creating a new category of faith, corporate religion. And that's exactly, that's well said.
Wow.
Yeah. She says, after all, corporations have been busily dodging religious values and moral culpability and driving down wages of workers, fraudulently selling homes and then robo-signing foreclosures, and generally bankrupting the middle class while corporate profits have skyrocketed.
Who would Jesus foreclose on?
Right. Where's your religious values then, I wonder? Huh. So weird. They just gone missing down
we
there.
We don't need no stinking religious values.
Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Fundamentally, these cases are extensions of the undying and unbounded campaign of big business to obliterate all laws or restrictions of their power. Mm-hmm. So there's that at play. I think she's right. Corporations argue religious objections to hiring gay people or could argue objections to hiring gay people on married pregnant women. Businesses could claim religion refusing same-sex couples and interracial couples. Corporations could deny health insurance coverage for vaccines, as we mentioned earlier, alcoholism treatment. Blood transfusions or treatment for HIV/AIDS based on religion. I mean, it is just a huge, and as I was saying, that was her best line. With some super glue from Hobby Lobby and some wood from Conestoga, you can build yourself one heck of a dangerous slippery slope. That's funny. It's true. Private business simply can't be allowed to assert religious protections every time they disagree with the tenet of a law. Yeah, it is just, to me, this seems like one of the most slam dunk cases that should ever have been at the Supreme Court. And yet, as you said, you're afraid of how they're going to rule in this.
Yeah, I think they're going to rule the wrong way just because of the precedent of Citizens United.
All right, Michael Tomasky is coming up at the bottom of the hour here. He talks about the McConnell campaign's huge Duke Whopper. Did you see this, Jim?
Sorry.
Something seriously wrong with Mitch McConnell's new campaign
ad. Yeah.
Except for just all the creepy smiling. That is weird, that first one where he's just keeps looking at the camera and like... And it's hard to smile without lips in the first place.
Yes, but I'm carrying a flintlock. Not sure why.
Anyway, somehow Duke got in there, the basketball team, rejoicing in their 2010 win over Butler. Duke and Kentucky have just a skosh bit of a rivalry. The video has since been removed from YouTube. A McConnell spokesperson blamed the video production company
for the mistake,
as you can see, because nothing could ever be Ural's fault.
Right.
They CGI'd the gun in my hand. It wasn't my idea.
He looks like such a weenie carrying that rifle.
Mm-hmm. Look at me.
His campaign has made misstep after misstep.
Yeah.
It's starting to get embarrassing.
How macho is that? I got an old rifle. I don't know how to work.
By the way, as you were saying, everyone hates Duke now. It screwed up everybody's brackets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nicely done, Yertle. 29 minutes after the hour. Michael Tomasky next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I know we gotta grow up sometime, but damn it, not today.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, sexy liberal Carlos Al's Rocky in hour number 3 for Coffee with Carlos. Speaking of sexy liberals, Michael Tomosky, so little time, so much to talk to him about. And, Michael, you got a shout-out from Charlie Pierce yesterday.
Oh, good old Charlie.
I'm not used to having my writer future husbands yell out each other's names during during our time together. Mike, we were
Would you make him shave that beard?
We were talking first of all about this is so great, the McConnell campaign's huge Duke Whopper, as you write about. It is kind of hilarious, but as you were saying, Allison Lundgren Grimes can surely counter it, proves how Washington he's become, right? He doesn't even know that his own ad featured Duke players celebrating, not Kentucky players.
And she's done that already.
Oh, yay.
And I looked at online. I looked at the cover of the Lexington Herald, whatever it's called today, and it's a big, big story. I haven't yet looked at the Louisville Courier-Journal, but, you know, this is the kind of thing could hurt a lot.
Yeah, in Kentucky.
Him, you know, it's going to stick with them.
During March Madness, right.
Yeah, exactly.
You say, here's what we've learned so far about McConnell this campaign. Number one, he made an idiot of himself hauling out that gun at CPAC, which he held as if it contained the germs of leprosy. Number two, when he tried to smile for the camera, he looks like your wicked Uncle Ernie. And three, he can't tell a Kentucky uniform from a Duke uniform.
It was a Who reference.
Yes, a Who reference.
Yeah. Thank you. He is stepping in it, left and right so far, huh?
Yeah, he really is, and but this one, you know, this one is bigger, I think, than the other ones, and it's impossible to say whether this turns into something that sort of defines him in the way that Martha Coakley's thing about Kurt Schilling defined her, because, you know, she was somewhat unknown to the voters of Massachusetts, and she's a girl, you know.
Yeah.
I say that ironically.
Yes, of course.
And McConnell's a known quantity and so on and so forth. So it may not stick to him quite like that stuck to her. But I think there'll be jokes about it throughout the course of this campaign.
Yep, yep. Michael, what Charlie and I were referring to is your great piece about Rand Paul. And you comment on what I talk about a lot. It's not these particular people. It's that the mainstream media, as you say, has gone into swoon. Like, oh, he's mm-hmm. different because he, you know, because he has one issue that he went to, you know, Berkeley to talk about anti-surveillance state. And you say that he has that in common with millennials, but that's about it. And you went through the polling on it, right?
Yeah, and it's even more decisive than I thought it would be when I had the idea for the column, because I looked I had known about this big Pew study, which is very fresh. It's just from early this month, and it found a big survey of millennials' political and social attitudes, and it found obviously that millennials are socially liberal on abortion and marijuana legalization. And, you know, same-sex marriage, duh, no kidding. I don't think that's stopped the press's information
right.
to anybody. But it also found, and this is the interesting part, that even on questions of, like, government and regulation and what the kind of footprint the state should have, they're liberals on that stuff.
Right. You sort of say they have some libertarian impulses, but mostly on issue after issue, not only do they disagree with Rand Paul, they're big government liberals. But again, I just want to go back to the, as you say, the Washington media tastemakers loved it. They all signs of a 2016 swoon fest are clear already. And again, because they need a race.
Mm-hmm. They need a race.
Right. Yeah. And they find him interesting and fresh. I mean, didn't we hear all this about Chris Christie before he imploded?
Yeah. We heard it all about Chris Christie. We heard it, or a version of it, something, it's you know, first cousin, about George W. Bush back in 2000, because Al Gore was old hat and he's a big stiff bore and so on and so forth.
Right,
and
George Bush better to have a beer with, as you say.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and you're right, you're like, they may use that with him if he is running against Hillary Clinton, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because they don't really like Hillary, you know, they just, this weird psychological baby boomer thing about the Clintons. I don't understand it quite, you know, but, you know, they're not going to be, the press is not, largely speaking, is not going to be really for Hillary Clinton. I mean, Maureen Dowd's a good weather vane for this kind of thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
She's already writing, she's a supposed liberal, but, you know, already writing these columns that, yeah. you know, mocking Hillary.
Yeah, well, she's done it to Obama, you know, starting with Obambi and all that. I don't get it. This week, Ruth Marcus in the Washington Post that you quote, though, that kind of made me yak, because she effused about his performance, talking about everything from his opposition to the surveillance state to his jeans to his hair to his accent that lent him a certain stoner quality. Is that what she said?
That's what she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
As Michael Scott would say, that's what she said.
Yes.
Yeah, and you say on issue after issue, though, Paul is not merely at odds with millennials. He's about 8 or 9 area codes away. And, you know, this study, as you were saying, it compares the views of millennials with Gen Xers, boomers, and silence, the old folk. One question asked each group whether it supports bigger government and more services. The overall response was 40% yes. The millennials was 53%. So like you say, in a lot of those issues, they're big government liberals.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean it was 53-47, you know, because there's like 15 undecided or something like that. So it was a 20-point gap or something along those lines. So
right. That's
a pretty significant gap. You know, they're just not his crowd. Now, it may be, I was on Hardball last night talking about this piece.
I saw you.
You did.
Dreamy McDreamerson.
And Matthew said, yeah, but, you know, they know that same-sex marriage is going to be legal. They know that abortion is going to stay legal, probably. They're more worried about this issue. I don't know. He could be right about that. You know, he knows his politics. He could be right about that. But I really just think that over the course of a campaign, if it's Rand Paul versus Hillary Clinton, and she hammers away at all these other things and says, okay, you know, you like him on surveillance questions and privacy questions, fine. But here's where he is on same-sex marriage. Here's where he is on abortion. Here's where he is on immigration. Here's where he is on civil rights, the civil rights law of 1964. Play that clip, that famous clip of him with Rachel Maddow a few times. I think she can, you know, take care of things.
Well, right. You say, obviously, millennials are extremely racially diverse, only 57% white compared to the 72% whiteness of the 2012 electorate. You know, so there's that. And then when you just mentioned marriage equality, they're for it to the tune of 68%. That's nearly 70, Jim.
Mm.
And for a stoner, for a cool stoner, he's against marijuana legalization.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Well, that won't matter to the tastemakers, see, because, like, George Bush wasn't drinking, but still was declared the better guy to have a beer with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's just that is the media's interest, is having a race. They don't, and this is what you're exactly right. They sort of defined Al Gore early on as that whole thing was always so ridiculous to me. It's like, first of all, you don't want to have a beer with a dry drunk like George Bush.
Right.
So let's see. And then the other thing, interesting, you say they aren't the millennials, they aren't just his or the GOP's friends. In more general terms, they're largely irreligious. Only half even bother to say they're patriotic, and they're extremely racially diverse, as we just talked about. You say all of Paul's deeply reactionary positions and statements otherwise will be minimized because he takes one or two interesting positions that make him a different kind of Republican. Trademark. Beltway pundits.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as somebody else was saying yesterday, like, he's not different. He's the same, just worse on a lot of issues, right?
He's very right-wing. He's much more right-wing, obviously, than Mitt Romney or John McCain on a whole range of issues. And that'll come out. Yeah, that'll come out if he's the nominee. I mean, I think he will do better among young people than Romney or McCain did. I he'll do a few points better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But this all comes down to states and electoral votes, right? Of course.
Right.
Will he do enough better to flip a single state? I don't see one.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Michael, I know it's early, and you know, in this whole way, but as you say, there's another Beltway media thing. Is he somehow seems to have, you know, been crowned the front runner, right?
Yeah, he has.
And what? And do you see? I don't know, Chris Christie resurrecting? Do you see Jeb getting in? What do you think?
Well, I Christie could still run, of course, if he's cleared. You know, he still could be indicted, but if he's cleared, he could still run. But I think his image has changed permanently.
Yeah.
You know, he can't run as he could have run 6 months ago.
Well, maybe a brisk walk.
Yeah, he could use it. Jeb. You know, I continue to be surprised at how poorly he performs in polls. When he's matched up in polls against Hillary Clinton, he's kind of down there with Mike Huckabee.
That is surprising.
Hmm. Yeah, it is surprising. But he's, you know, 13, 14, 15 points behind her nationally in a lot of polls.
Yeah.
I don't quite know why. I guess just his last name. And
I was just going to say Bush fatigue. Don't underestimate it.
Or is he not to the far right enough for Republicans?
Maybe yeah, that's undoubtedly a little part of it, yeah.
Maybe he's not eating enough squirrel.
His diet. And Mike, before you go, I got to check in on the, because obviously we've been talking about the Supreme Court Hobby Lobby thing all morning.
Yeah.
Chris is nervous about what's going to happen. What do you think? This just seems so ridiculous and cut and dried to me that this would be a dangerous, slippery slope.
You know, I mean, I didn't go to the Supreme Court, obviously, and I just followed commentary on TV and some people that I usually read and count on for this, and there seems to be a kind of sense that at the very least the court is going to say, you know, closely held private corporations probably can do this. It's going to open up a real, you know, what do you define as a religion, you know?
Right.
Something's going to come along someday, a closely held private corporation that follows some, you know, wacky made up religion. And legally, it'll be a religion, and they can, you know, do who knows what.
Yeah, and then we will hear, I'm sorry, the flying spaghetti monster does not believe in ibuprofen. And then where will we be as a nation?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Mike Tomasky, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week, sir.
Great, thank you.
All right, there he goes. Love him. He's handsome on TV.
And he agrees with me.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting right now. Do it. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Why, look who's here early, everybody. My goodness, we get an extra.
That's good coffee.
I take it black, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos El Rocky.
I'll have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
She never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain-grown coffee.
Carlos El Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
Handpicked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
With an extra little dose because he's here early.
Good
Hello!
Morning. Good morning! Hey, Nathan, viste el partido contra Barcelona y Real Madrid? Qué buen jugaron Lionel Messi y Di María, huh?
Right.
Qué bueno.
He said, absolutamente. I said, hey, do y'all see that game between Barcelona and Real Madrid? That Messi and that Di María played well.
Nathan grew up in Argentina, so no, that's why.
Oh, yes. Okay. I did not know that.
Yes.
There you go.
He's the real item.
There you go. He feels the need to do sports talk immediately because he has come to us from Vagina Island.
Vagina Island, that's right. And I talk about football, the world's most popular sport.
La Isla de... Well, whatever.
La Isla de Mujeres Vaginas. La Isla Vaginas.
Referring to, of course, his lovely wife and two...
Two daughters.
Daughters.
The 10-week-old... as I said on Facebook, I'm happy to report but that my new daughter's breastfed-infused poop smells just like delicious hot buttered movie popcorn.
Wow. Wow. What movie theater has she been going to?
Yeah,
yikes.
No, Hotel.
Happy breakfast, everybody.
Happy breakfast, everybody. And then my second daughter is completely nuts, and jealousy is reigning supreme in her mind. I set her off the other day by going, "Hi, Riley. Don't say hi to me."
Oh, wow.
Okay. I guess
you make dear. Having children sound so enticing.
Yeah. It's fun. She's awesome though. She's
that's why
she's
we have
full of piss and vinegar.
That's why we have Carlos in to reaffirm our life choices.
That's right.
Childless losers. Thank you, Carlos.
If you don't have kids, stay away. I'm telling you, stay away. No, they're a joy. They're
sure.
And now you're sick because you have germ wagons.
Yeah, that's
and you have to go to Madison this weekend for Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to spread my germs to all them sexy liberals out there. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to incubate myself. I got a little Mucinex allergy.
I'm You're still go, hot. I love our Coffee with Carlos Facebook thread. Do you listen to it last week? It's muy caliente. Oh, he's hot. Yeah. And then there are also requests that you wear the shorts from Reno 911.
I can wear the pink shorts as my Garcia character wore for one episode. But if you think I'm Dangle, I can't be your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't the guy who wore the short shorts.
No, exactly.
I did wear the pink for the Hot Wings episode.
Thomas Lennon.
Now, you did have a mustache on the series. Was that a real mustache?
I'm growing one now because we're going to do a little thing for a sheriff there in Carson, California, who helped support our show.
Okay.
The real mustache was for the movie because they thought that it would look more
Reno 911, the movie.
That's right.
Miami. The fake one was for the series. I would literally take it off during lunch because I did not want to get balsamic vinegar inside my fake mustache and have it cook in the hot sun out in Pacoima.
That would smell worse than your daughter's poop.
I know what it smells like when you get balsamic vinegar in this.
Yeah, you don't want to get balsamic vinegar in your hairs. Fake or real or otherwise. Made of human hair, but fake. No.
I bet you have no idea what's in there. Anything could be in that.
There's a nest of birds in there.
Mm-hmm. Literally, a guy named Bobby Davis, a black gentleman in my school at Mountain View Elementary, had a big afro, and during class, and the teacher's like, what the hell is going on? All of a sudden, blew out of his hair.
Oh, God.
Spectacular. All right.
For real. I'm not making it up.
Well, they shouldn't wash his hair with birds.
When the Harlem Globetrotters had their little cartoon, didn't one of them... Like, he would pull things out of his afro.
As
like,
a joke, right.
Like a locker, you know? Yeah. Yeah, things out of...
Shin guards.
Yeah.
Toothbrush.
That was his superpower.
Right. I got my toiletries up here.
Yeah.
Can I walk through security?
By the way, I thought you had gotten the wrong day yesterday, and we're outside doing Faraway Dog, but it actually was Fred. It was actually Fred.
Yeah.
It was Fred? And I was like, Carlos has the wrong day. Is he here?
Cruise ship.
And now you have a new one. He calls Max, my largest Great Pyrenees, cruise ship.
Cruise ship.
He comes, every time he comes in, Carlos says,
hey, Royal Caribbean.
And sometimes
Carnival Cruise Lines.
Yeah, sometimes he does make noise like that.
Oh, Fred?
Yeah.
Okay.
Max.
My daughter.
Max.
Hi, daughters.
Hi. Hi, Riley.
Okay.
Hi.
All right, let's go to Corky in Rochester. You're on with Carlos. Hello, Corky.
Hello.
Hello.
This Supreme Court case sounds like Christian Sharia law.
Yeah.
Telling women what they can do with their bodies. Now, my second point is money. If you want to be a private company and not abide by the rules, then you should not get the corporate tax break.
Well, and the other thing, Corky, doesn't it imply that you should only hire people that have your religious beliefs? Because you don't want to allow... any woman that works for you to choose.
But that would
to
be
choose?
Discrimination.
Yes, that would be against the Civil Rights Act.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So why would you assume every woman that works for you has your religious beliefs and they don't want contraception either?
It just gets too complicated when you believe in fables and not fact. It really muddies up the waters. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, if we hire a woman, no, that would be discrimination. But they just, as he said, you can pay a tax. You don't have to insure these people. I think it was Justice Kagan, is that her name?
Right.
I hope I'm getting it
right.
She said, just pay the tax.
Yeah.
It's not a penalty, it's a tax. If you don't want to insure your employers, just pay the tax then. Don't force them to do stuff like that. And he's right. Travis and I were talking about it. It's like a Muslim saying, I will not support the woman's right to use acne cream because her face should be covered anyways. And as an employer of my corporation, we will not provide coverage for clean pore or anything that cleans pores for acne cleans. No! And I'm sorry to use that accent, but come on, let's face it. Come on. There it is.
I enjoyed it.
We traffic in stereotypes here.
Yeah, we do.
Sometimes monotypes. You know,
right. Depending.
But he's right. He's absolutely right. When you muddy up the water. And Steve Marmel, a comic friend of mine, had a great post about Viagra. Man, go ahead, get those blue pills all you want. Make that little thing stand up. Women, well, we've got to decide for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Now, that was a rehearsal.
Yep.
This is a real Coffee with Carlos coming up on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and I'm feeling good. Hey!
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Carlos Alzraki, sexy liberal extraordinaire, live in studio. He's already been jingled. He got here early.
That's right.
We are having in the midst of the coffee with Carlos. Good morning, Carlos Alzraki.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. And only a professional chews gum while on radio. It's coffee gum, though. Keeps me awake.
Ah, okay.
They have caffeine gum somewhere, I'm sure.
Yes, and hopefully Max will come back in so we can hear your greeting.
The seagulls following your dogs like tugboats.
And you are correct. Max does not have enough lifeboats on him.
Mine.
All right, let's see. Jan, staff can't wait to see you all this weekend in Madison. I'll bring in my sister, her first experience. Ooh, a sexy liberal virgin, Carlos. Ooh. But she is open-minded. I was at your first show in Madison. We will see you Saturday. Woot! John Pugel saying Carlos of Rocky and I. It's, by the way, if you didn't get a ticket, I think it sold out in 20 minutes, I'm told, this time. That was many months ago. So,
you know what we should do in honor of the Lambeau Leap? We should do the liberal leap. If you want to leap on stage and come up and grab us.
Okay. There will be some union and security issues, so don't do what Carlos just said. Steve at the Barrymore is like, oh, no.
Yeah. He just did a face palm.
Sorry, Packer face fans. Plant. I'm a Niner fan. We'll talk about it after the show, Packer fans.
Oh, and look at this. We have an invitation. Sexy Liberal invitation. Steph, although we did not get to the Barrymore in time to secure Sexy Liberal tickets, we are still looking forward to having you back in Madison this Saturday, March 29th. Thanks for helping us get ready to have a progressive campaign season in 2014 here in Wisconsin. Fromagination would like to offer you your Sexy Liberal entourage, one of our specialty events, a traditional Swiss fondue lunch.
Mm.
Oh. We can get some free cheese.
That'll be good for my mucus-infested body.
God, if I were there, I would totally do that.
They were going to FedEx some cheese, but they can't do that because it's
smelly. Yeah, well, no, they could do it, but we only have a post office box.
Oh,
so
right.
FedEx doesn't deliver
because
to P.O. boxes.
Because we would never be dumb enough to give out my home address where the studio is. Oh, that's right, unless you gave Free Speech TV $1,000 and then you won the meet and greet with me in the moves.
But you can get some great swag if you...
Do you, like, blindfold them?
I would blindfold them,
put them in a car, and drive them around in circles.
Yeah.
Freespeech.org. Just go
this
there.
This is a green zone, man. You don't bring people in without a blindfold.
Right, exactly. We have a whole thing.
Yeah.
We have a whole thing. All right. Jim, did you see this? North Korea, men are required to get Kim Jong-un haircuts now in North Korea.
Wow.
It's just like the Beatles. Everyone wants to wear that suit and the haircut.
This is a super cut.
Talk
about being pressured as a barber. You're not doing it right.
No, you didn't get it right.
Sorry, the scissors are shaking in my hand.
One source told Radio Free Asia, our leader's haircut is very particular, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always go with everyone, since everyone has different face and head shapes.
The password is... No.
All right, never mind. Let's
oh, yeah, I'll tell you something. I hope you understand. When I...
Boy, double trouble. Double trouble.
I wonder who you're in.
Catherine in Colorado, you're on the
first
second.
I had to chop it
off so I can hold your hand. You win again, karaoke contest. You go and to Hollywood.
Catherine, please help. Please help me. Catherine, please talk to me.
You are my North Korean
Hello,
idol.
Hello, Stephanie. I love you.
I love you.
I can't believe I got through.
Go ahead.
I was just calling about the Supreme Court deliberations on this Hobby Lobby thing, and it just occurred to me that don't I have freedom from religion as well as freedom of religion in this country?
Well, officially, I mean, those words are not in the Constitution, so I don't know that you could absolutely cite that, but
doesn't that seem logical? I thought the framers had intended that.
Right. Yes. You have the freedom to practice or not practice whatever religion you want.
Right. And if your religious beliefs are infringing on my freedom to have health care the way I need my health care,
right?
Don't I have just as legitimate a right? And couldn't I come before the court at some point?
Right. And as we've been pointed out many, many times, a lot of women have an endometriosis that is a common ailment that you need birth control for. And it's not for birth control.
Even if it was, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Right, even if it were.
I can't believe in the 21st century we are still talking about trying to control women's bodies and fertility. It just
Well, hold on,
right,
little missy.
Crazy.
You have rights-ish.
Yeah, you have a right to your... It's ironic to me that the religious right that despises Harry Potter allows people in Hogwarts robes to decide their fate and do their bidding.
Yeah. Nancy on Twitter made a good point. So if I have a corporation and I believe it's a sin to have a child that is unplanned, can I require my employees to use birth control? Very good question.
Gay marriages, zero abortions, zero unplanned pregnancies.
There you go. Phoenix in Anaheim, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Stephanie, first of all, I have to agree with Judy Gold about the whole music. It's hard. about the corporate religion thing. It's like I'm a Buddhist who owns a shop. Could I then decide not to hire any Christians for fear that they discriminate against my LGBT customers or refuse to sell birth control that I have in the shop?
Yeah, well, this is the problems. This is the mixing can of worms. Church and state. Yep. This is exactly right. Peggy in Texas on the very same subject. You're on with Carlos. Hi, Peggy.
Hi there.
Hi.
I was just going to say that our founding fathers were very well aware of this kind of nonsense. That's what the crazies don't seem to realize. And they knew if religion took over, it would be a mess, which is why they put that into the Constitution.
Yep.
And if they had wanted this to be a Christian nation, they would have put it in at that time.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yep, exactly. All right. Tommy in Columbus, you're on with Carlos. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, muy olas. Señor Los is in la casa de los perros.
How's the dogs?
Wow.
Buenos dias, compadre.
Hey, amigo de mio. See,
oh, Tommy, that's awful. Just go. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick. Donald Rumsfeld saying yesterday that a trained ape could do better in foreign policy than Barack Obama really pisses me off.
Yeah.
This is a guy who lied to get us into an unnecessary war.
Yep.
I mean, the blood is dripping from his hands. Without getting too personal, a neighbor of mine for years, his son is dead now from brain cancer because he did 3 tours in Iraq, and he was around the KBR burn pits, and a bunch of people got brain cancer because of all the toxic material there. So I don't need to hear a lecture of foreign policy expertise from Donald Rumsfeld, who said we know where the weapons are or any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he should shut up and be glad he's not in the Hague.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and one of the known knowns now is that he's also a racist on top of it.
Well, you can train an ape to shake hands with Saddam Hussein in the 80s.
Exactly.
A picture of it.
That's
you can also train an ape to say, you don't go to war with the army that you
have.
That
the one you wish you have.
You go to the army with the one you have. We're sorry that they don't have protective armor, but we thought this shock and awe thing would work because we didn't study the history of it. And I guess I should have had an ape history teacher at West Point or something. What a dolt.
Stuff happens. Yeah. He's just a parade of dumb things he said regarding, all right. The president. Oh, by the way, in the neocons, they still, there's not enough. We are not blowing up enough stuff. There's not enough wars we can get in. For instance, Russia. The president yesterday.
We are also concerned about further encroachment by Russia into Ukraine. Russia is a regional power that is threatening some of its immediate neighbors. Not out of strength, but out of weakness.
Ah, very good point. But for John McCain, not bomby enough.
I'm sure that has got reduced Vladimir to tears, that he's not going to be able to be in the G8. Take over part of a country and you don't get to go to the next meeting in some wonderful European capital.
Mm. Yeah, well, maybe McCain can fly over and do that. Oh, whoops, that won't work. Screw him.
So I love this, that now, you know, apparently Mitt Romney has become foremost foreign policy expert. And as Charlie Pierce said yesterday, we had a chance to elect you. We spit in your eye. Just shush now and go away. So the president, of course, was asked about whether Mitt Romney was right to characterize Russia as America's biggest geopolitical foe. The president said, no, they don't pose the number one national security threat to the United States. I mean, it's just, it's like they're trying to like rerun this election again and go, well.
We told you so.
Yes.
Well, why wasn't that part of any other candidate's argument during the whole Republican primary process? Why was it just Romney? Why wasn't McCain saying stuff?
I think we should have nominated the empty chair. I think he would have done better.
Yeah. It's a good idea. It seems so 1960s. All the blustery old men are for. We gotta go in there.
What do you mean we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And oddly, this just in. New poll says virtually nobody wants us to get involved in what's happening.
Yeah. Well, our army's depleted after two unnecessary wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All it would take, Tora Bora, special forces. We could have taken out Osama bin Laden, gotten out of Afghanistan. We didn't need to go into Iraq. And anybody who questions that, please watch the Pat Tillman story.
Uh-huh.
The greatest patriot perhaps this country's ever had, who said, what the blank is going on with Iraq? I'm in Afghanistan trying to do something here, and you guys are starting another war. Please see that documentary.
Yeah, absolutely.
All you right-wing Republicans who love football and Pat Tillman, you better check that out, because it's not going to mesh with your message.
Mm-hmm. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along coffee with sexy liberal Carlos Sells Rocky on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Coffee with sexy liberal Carlos Alves Rocky on his way to Madison, Wisconsin. He's going to do his glass hole bit.
I'm the president of Hobby Lobby, and women cannot have lunch. I'm just afraid they're going to go out and swallow an IUD during lunch, and I'm not going to know about it. So, therefore, I have banned lunch, and that's what glass holes can do for you.
Thank you, Carlos. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The last sexy liberal of 2013 was up in Seattle, and I have to say my heart goes out to all those folks up there.
Yeah.
It's a horrific, the amount of people that they originally thought the number would go down, and then it went up in terms of people that were, missing or, anyway, in the 911 call, I don't know if you've heard any of these.
There's like a mudslide and everything's gone, the houses are gone. I got people here screaming for help. You see another person?
Okay. Are they in the middle of the water?
Yes, there's a person going up there in the middle of the mud. Come on.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
It stopped at 100 feet from my house.
Okay, well, they have been advised, okay?
Thank you.
And, they're saying the number of people dead and missing, it was higher because it was Saturday, you know, and a lot of people that otherwise, might have been at work or at school or whatever. So,
Which happened during the San Francisco earthquake, the Cypress structure when it collapsed because it was the World Series.
Right.
Thank the higher powers that less traffic was on the road and fewer people were killed in that catastrophe.
Yep.
But this happened in Seattle over the weekend. It was not an inordinately dry year for Seattle, though. It's not due to sort of climate. It's just this area per se.
I think
they determined.
There's more rain coming, which is not a good sign. By the way, President Obama tweeted nearly 60% of uninsured Americans could get covered for $100 a month or less. That is quite a fun fact, I have to say.
Which is why it must be repealed.
Right. I got a letter from a fine American, CJ in Miami, who says, P.S., missed you when you were in Fort Lauderdale. I heard from friends it was a great show. I wish I was there. Indeed. but she writes, Steph, longtime podcast subscriber, for whatever it costs a month, because I don't have a fear of commitment. $4.95.
Right.
Yeah. I decided to go into business for myself. When I went into business for myself, my COBRA payments were $1,200 a month. She had health insurance all her life.
Mm-hmm.
She said, guess what? I got sick with a staph infection, spent 6 weeks in the hospital. After that, no matter what the cost, I was uninsurable.
Mm.
I mean, this is what people need to remember. If you got sick, then you were uninsurable.
That's right.
Like, health insurance was only good until you got sick.
We're not going to cover that.
Yeah.
How are we going to make any money if you're sick and we have to pay for it?
But these are the real stories that we need to run on in 2014 and not run away from the Affordable Care Act. She said, because of that, my daughter was also unable to get insurance. When she turned 18, I tried to sign her up for private insurance because she had migraines when she was 14. She was refused coverage.
Wow.
Unlike Michelle Bachmann, she had no government insurance available to her.
Well,
and Michelle Bachmann got hers from Show Tunes, obviously.
Clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
Marcus, turn it down, I have a headache.
Blow high, blow low, a whaling we will go.
We both signed up under the Affordable Care Act. Our total payments are about half what was my former Cobra payment. We recently found out she has a chronic condition that will require medication, medical visits, and tests for the rest of her life. Because we have insurance through the ACA, I do not have to sell my house to pay for needed treatments, and she cannot be kicked off health insurance, which would have happened before the ACA was passed. For every fake story the Republicans trot out, there are many more true stories about how the ACA has helped Americans. And she, by the way, missed the Fort Lauderdale show because she was in her daughter's hospital room getting tests covered by the Affordable Care Act. Thank you, President Obama.
Yeah, the latest.
But no thanks to you for her missing Fort Lauderdale sexy liberal. Thanks,
yeah,
Obama.
Right. The latest Americans for Prosperity Act was also debunked.
By the
again.
Way, right. Well, you know, and
at least you don't have that socialized medicine like they do in them European countries.
Like most of the industrialized world, Denmark and Switzerland.
That's why they done give it up. It done work.
And Norway, the three happiest places to live.
We're going
to
fix that.
We're happy gone. Places to live.
We're going to teach them how.
That's socialist happy. That's the wrong kind.
Yeah.
Jackie Schechter will be joining us here tomorrow for yep. Jackie's Healthcare Corner. And what she keeps pointing out, Carlos, is really don't stop blaming the president for stuff that the insurance companies are doing. They
yes.
didn't suddenly stop being insurance companies because of the Affordable Care Act. And I was going to talk to her about this one in the New York Times. Names of health plans sow customer confusion. And a lot of this is the insurance company. In some cases, they're trying to confuse you to get you into a higher cost plan
right.
or whatever. As Americans race to sign up for health insurance in the final days of open enrollment, which we're in, many customers and consumer advocates say the names are unhelpful, confusing, and in some cases misleading. A number of insurers sell their plans under names like Select. Oh, this is a lot. Select, Preferred, Premier, Exclusive, Enhanced, Essential, Essential Plus, Prime, Ultimate, and Deluxe.
Now with Retsin?
Right.
Yes.
Some with Retsin. Multiple
and
offerings.
Tetrahydrozoline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the hell is tetrahydrozoline?
Chevron has it.
No. That was in Visine.
Right.
Oh, it was a secret ingredient in Visine.
Wow. Whatever it is, not
so
good for your eyes.
Putting gasoline in my eyes all these years?
That was your problem. That's why I have IBS.
Oh, and Pentium, which is a made-up word.
IBS?
Yeah. Pentium processors.
Ah, yes.
Multiple offerings from one company may have the same benefits and cover the same share of the consumer's cost, but go by different names. Sometimes the names are downright deceptive, said one lawyer at Consumers Union. Calling a plan exclusive makes it sound super-duper, but it may mean that you have a very limited choice of doctors or hospitals. And, again, something they're blaming the president for, and it's insurance companies that are limiting what
mm-hmm.
doctors and
mm-hmm.
hospitals you can go to. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina offers plans with names like Blue Advantage Silver 3000. Blue Select Silver 3500 and Blue Advantage Silver 5000.
All sound like mattresses.
Exactly. Is there a Select Comfort?
Your new sleep number health plan.
A nurse in Florida, in Lafayette County, Florida, supports the health care law as a step forward to universal coverage and knows more than most people about insurance, having worked in hospitals for 3 decades. But he said the names of the plans available to him are insurance doublespeak. They include Essential, Everyday Health, Predictable Cost Plus, All Copay, and Everyday Health Premier.
Wow.
Health insurance is complicated enough, even for people who've had it for years. Many people seeking coverage under the new law have not had insurance, and for them, the choices are particularly challenging. But, you know, again, as Jackie always says, put the blame where it belongs on the insurance companies.
I think we've discussed this before. You, if we went to a single payer, people that could afford health insurance could still afford health insurance. It wouldn't be dragging you down. It's just that it would cover everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can say, if you're rich, that's why this whole abortion thing, you're not going to stop rich people from having abortions.
There you go. 29 minutes after the hour, more Coffee with Carlos on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yay! Yes, your queen is back.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Coffee with sexy liberal Carlos Alzeraqui.
Yes.
Live in studio on his way to Madison, Wisconsin.
That's right.
Mommy, that's been sold out forever. The big show in Chicago. You know, Chris and Jim are coming.
Yep.
Just saying.
I'll be there.
Some dueling De Niro, some dueling Woody Allen. Whatever's happening.
Chicago right there.
And she'll make me take my shirt off and flex.
Right. Exactly.
Because that's the only thing I'm good at.
April 26th. Hey, go to Sexy Liberal Facebook or sexyliberal.com. Because, you know, we've been hacked. We've got the right-wingers at work again doing the scam sites and scalpers and all that stuff. Go
like
right to Sexy Liberal to get the right ticket list.
Not Sexy Liberal Premium Plus.
Albuquerque in May. And then June is Minneapolis. All right, so we were talking about, Carlos, in election year, we should be running on the Affordable Care Act and not, you know, thank you. Katrina Vandenhoevel, our buddy, has a great piece about this. I didn't see this. Did you, Move On, put a billboard up in Louisiana? So the state's lieutenant government is suing Move On over this billboard that criticizes Governor Bobby Jindal's refusal to expand Medicaid in the state.
Oh, yes.
The billboard uses Louisiana's tourism slogan, Pick Your Passion.
Uh-huh.
And adds, but hope you don't lose your health. Governor Jindal's denying Medicaid to 242,000 people.
And
that's very effective.
They tried to sue MoveOn.org.
I'm just going to exercise out all the disease.
Yes. The lawsuit claims the MoveOn ad will result in substantial and irreparable harm, injury, and damages to the Louisiana Tourism Office, as if denying health insurance to the neediest will not cause the state substantial and irreparable harm, Katrina writes. Legal experts say Jindal's ploy has no chance of succeeding thanks to the First Amendment, which he just used to defend the Duck Dynasty guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And his racist and homophobic. Hmm. 19 states are refusing to expand Medicaid, aren't just leaving low-income Americans out to dry. They're also leaving billions of health care dollars on the table. The real cost of Republican cruelty, however, she writes, cannot be measured in dollars and cents, but in people's lives. Researchers have concluded without the expansion, individuals will go without checkups, cancer screenings, treatment for diseases such as diabetes and depression, leading to thousands of premature and preventable deaths. Mm-hmm. That's something to run on, is what she's talking about.
Absolutely, and even if the premiums and the plans cost you more, you're getting more. Just picture it like this. What you have now is a really crappy box of really crappy fireworks that you bought on the side of the road. What we're wanting you to do is buy the quality fireworks so they don't go off in your hand, you don't have a dud, and a little limp Roman candle.
Yeah.
That's what you have, a crappy box of fireworks. You get more, you pay more, because it saves you more. I feel like Vincent Gardenia.
And you don't blow your hand off.
I feel like Vincent Gardenia and Moonstruck. First, there's steel, which is what you have. Which is, unless there are problems. And there's always problems. Then there is bronze, which is okay. Then there is copper, which is the only pipe I use. It costs you more because it saves you more.
Very good. Thank you, Carlos. Very good.
We need Vincent Gardini to come back to life.
Thank you.
To do an ad
for the ACA.
Yeah.
She says amid the misinformation and fear-mongering lies a real opportunity for Democrats to increase support for the ACA and win more races in November. And I agree with her. And they were talking about the Florida race. Once again, it can't be said enough. She says it again. Polls suggest it was not Obamacare that hurt the Democrat. It was turnout. It was low turnout, which the president was just talking about and we've been talking about. To combat this, what if the Democrats organized a clear, concerted effort to demonstrate how Republicans are not denying millions of Americans access to health insurance? She says there's already signs the awareness is working. Moral Mondays are happening down in a lot of like our North Carolina stations in Asheville and Raleigh-Durham. A lot of times, and they're saying progressives should back MoveOn's brilliant billboard campaign parroting the tourism slogans. And by the way, they're not just doing it in Louisiana. They're doing it in Texas, Florida, Nebraska, Virginia, Wisconsin, which are all blocking the Medicaid expansion. So,
as Grayson said, live free or die slowly?
Yes. But she's just saying people need to know who is at fault for the fact that you know, the number of people that are being denied access to health care. She said it's time for Democrats to run on health care reform, not away from it, and Medicaid expansion is a worthy place to start. Thank you, Katrina. Governor Wanker in Wisconsin, where Carlos and I are going Saturday. He's one of the people.
We won't stand with Governor Wanker.
Exactly. I don't think they do stand with Governor Wanker in Wisconsin. By the way, because we were saying, what does Charlie Pierce call it? The Coke subsidiary that used to be known as Wisconsin.
Yes.
And listen to this one. Coke brothers invade tiny Iron County, Wisconsin. A mining town of 6,000 people isn't too small for billionaires to mess with to get their way. It has all the makings of a Hollywood movie. Politically connected billionaires target a local election to secure victory for candidates supportive of a proposed billion-dollar mining venture. Mm-hmm. Their only obstacle is an underfunded, ragtag group of locals who want to preserve the environment. Who will win?
Call Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's like Trading Places.
Yes.
It's fractaculous.
This isn't a movie. It's happening in Iron County, Wisconsin's April 1st County Board of Supervisors election. It's home to about 6,000 people, described as a place of incredible natural beauty with 300 pristine lakes, waterfalls, 500 miles of great snowmobile trails. But it has something else, iron ore. Therein lies the interest of the billionaires, and not just one, but three, plus Wisconsin's ambitious governor, Scott Wanker.
Great.
Scott Wanker.
Yes.
This is the point that Chris Hayes had a story on Sheldon Adelson.
Sheldon
billionaire. He makes $38 billion a day, $1.5 million an hour, yet his casino is non-union, yet he supports candidates like Lindsey Graham who are against online gambling.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder why he's against online gambling.
It's weird.
Why are the Koch brothers supportive of non-restrictive environmental laws or whatever? Why are they want to frack and, you know, why are they donating money to candidates that want to mine things?
Because he's David Koch.
Yeah.
He's David Koch.
Mike, tell us why you became involved with the Tea Party movement.
We want to take our country back.
Who do you want to take our country back from?
Well, we want to take it back from a Congress and a president who's forgotten that government derives its power from the consent of the governed and instead is at the beck and call of special interests and corporations.
That's what confounds the media. We are not being run by a George Soros type figure.
Okay, have either of you ever heard the name David Koch?
I'm sorry?
My friend, the captain.
David Koch.
Thinks we are socially.
Have you ever heard the name Koch Industries?
Are you talking about Coca-Cola?
K-O-C-H. Koch Industries is the second largest private company in the country. And they could buy and sell George Soros 10 times over. They sold Tea Party candidates in excess of $40 million. Are the Koch brothers average Americans whose voices are being drowned out by lobbyists and special interests? I'm confounded.
Really, really well done.
Iron ore, clean air, and clean water.
Yeah. Hey, I see what you did there.
Online gambling is a sin. If you
he
must
calls it
gamble,
fool's gold. He calls it, Sheldon Adelson does. That kind of gambling's bad.
You need to come into my casino and sit next to a smoker and get cancer while you're gambling. Don't do it from the safety of your home with clean air. It's a sin.
All right. Here's another reason to love Shake Shack. Who loves Shake Shack burgers? Me.
I remember
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
It's what? A New York thing. Ours is In-N-Out.
You chose to live in New York.
Shake Shack's. Mm. Here's another reason to love them. They're paying their employees $10 an hour with benefits.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
You can make good burgers and have good, happy employees. They're back in New York, Jersey, Pennsylvania.
There's actually one in Vegas at the New York, New York Casino.
It is
really
delicious.
Shake Shack. Yeah. I'm going to go to the Shake Shack. I
apparently
will support
it's really,
like
really
that.
Good.
And Costco.
Yep. No, it is just like it's In-N-Out is our version out here, which is also.
Why doesn't Costco sell frozen Shake Shack burgers?
There you
go. Two companies that are really cool getting together.
Yeah, they are. They're going to pay their employees $10 an hour. They offer full time employees health, dental, vision, retirement, and disability benefits plus paid time off. When asked if these practices come with concrete benefits for the company itself, the CEO said, "Absolutely. Our turnover is lower. We hire the best. They stay longer. We can grow them into management. And if the team feels taken care of, then they'll go out and take care of the guests."
Oh.
Imagine that.
How Dickensian. He was visited by three ghosts.
In-N-Out is very similar.
Yeah, I was just going to say, In-N-Out, the West Coast burger chain pays $10.50 an hour for entry-level employees, so yay for them as well.
You're alive.
Yes. What? Yep.
And they all seem happy. I'm just there the other day.
And that's what a hamburger's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice slogan.
And you can
go to In-N-Out and not pay a whole arm and a leg for it.
That's right. They don't have to raise 4 cents a burger price now.
Exactly. How do they get away
with
that?
How do they do it?
Papa John's. I can give away millions of free pizzas, but I cannot pay my workers more.
No,
that's right.
That's socialism.
By the way, CEO of Shake Shack said, asked if he thinks other business owners in the fast food industry can take this approach and see similar results. He said, "I know they can because I just know that it works." Imagine that. Speaking of burgers, guess what Kanye West is giving Kim as a wedding present?
An entire
franchise of Burger King, 10 of them, in Europe.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Hmm. So when he goes
My
out
baby
to Burger
needs
King,
to wear a crown.
He goes big.
He's
go big or go home.
He's trying to get her away from the whole reality show as income thing and get her into actual business.
The whole sex tape reality show, that kind of thing. Yes.
Eat it on a motorcycle.
Okay.
Backwards with the wind blowing
the wrong way. That's how much power I have. I can make the wind change directions and defy physics.
That was the weirdest video. Did you ever see it?
Which one?
I saw the Seth Rogen Franco
version. It was a video of like Kanye riding a motorcycle and Kim is backwards while naked riding the motorcycle and the wind is blowing her hair the wrong way.
How did I miss that?
They're having
relations.
Motorcycle sex.
Motorcycle sex.
While driving.
She's backwards? Wait, he's facing forward, presumably driving?
And she's facing him like on the handlebars.
Yeah.
And they're both not wearing handlebars.
Helmets. So
that's against the law. Seems
baby
unsafe.
Baby Kanye.
Right. I think they're heading northwest.
All right.
I see what you did there,
I need time to digest all that. All right, 45, like a yummy Shake Shack burger. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Coffee with Carlos on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carlos El Rocky, sexy liberal extraordinaire, live in studio with us for Coffee with Carlos. Off to Madison, Wisconsin with me and John Fugel staying this weekend for Sexy Liberal. Sold out, forget it, but go to Chicago.
Go to Chicago.
Where the MOOCs will also be the big extravaganza at the Chicago
Theater. Pass up your car. Careful.
Come on in from Schaumburg, wherever you are.
Schaumburg, Joliet.
Madison is like almost halfway between Chicago and Minneapolis.
We're on a mission from gas.
Right. So, you know.
Some people are doing all three.
Road trip.
Audra and Kate are doing Madison, they're doing what you call Chicago, and they're doing Minneapolis from June.
Yep.
I don't know why they're not doing Albuquerque in May, but who can say?
They're upper Midwest gals.
Okay. All right. By the way, I saw Aretha Franklin celebrating her 72nd birthday.
Yep.
You know where Aretha Franklin celebrated once? At Detroit Sexy Liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Great. With me and John Fugel saying and Aisha Tyler. Her hat was said to be shaking in laughter.
Wow. She contacted us and said, Ms. Franklin would like a box.
Wow.
And we thought we were getting...
That our happy
and
meal.
We thought we were being pranked. And so...
Here's your happy meal, Ms. Franklin. Wrong box, you idiot.
A box at the Detroit Opera House.
Wow.
To see Sexy Liberal.
Yes.
Okay, spell respect.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You're in.
Can you use it in a song, please?
All right. Speaking of entertainment, you know the show Cosmos, right?
Yeah, with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right. Right. So the
it's very different from Carl Sagan,
but just as brilliant and just as entertaining.
Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the creationist doofus that owns the Creationist Museum in Kentucky wanted to be invited to debate.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Right. Yeah. Evolution on the show or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was already pre-taped, obviously. So fortunately, they gave him his own show.
Tonight, the cosmos is all it is, or ever was, or ever will be.
We are continuing this voyage.
Watch the answer to the so-called scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson and his so-called science program, Cosmos, as the Fox Network airs the special rebuttal. Fire bad. Smash rock. Tune in to see alternative and completely science-like answers to questions of the origins of our universe, our species, and life itself. Watch documented proof that human beings and dinosaurs lived at the same time.
Easy now, vegetables!
See actual evidence that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, with first-hand accounts from Larry King.
Mesopotamia, you're on.
Hear both sides of arguments on theories like evolution, global warming, and gravity.
All explained by me, Skeeter.
Fire bad. Smash rock. Tonight, only on Fox.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain.
I don't get it.
And Richard Hensel, famous voice guy.
Speaking of religion, did you see this, Carlos, that O'Reilly, on his haters? He said, I'm not comparing myself, but people hated Jesus, too.
Oh, boy.
It sounded like he just compared himself to Jesus.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. Jesus had his haters,
I'm not comparing myself, but people hate LeBron James, too. All right. That's all I'm saying.
I love this part. He said, O'Reilly argued the main problem people have with religion is they don't want to be judged, citing Bill Maher as an example. He said Maher, quote-unquote, wants to do whatever he wants, be it taking drugs or committing adultery, without hearing anyone scolding him. Okay, if you know one thing about Bill Maher...
He's not in a position to talk about that.
Yeah. A, and B, Bill, if you've ever heard Bill Maher, he's never getting married.
Right.
So he,
right.
Bill Maher just wants to commit adultery. That's what he wants to do.
You would have to be married.
Fight the other day about somebody.
Feel like Bill O'Reilly. When
yes.
He was Rome.
You mean when he was, right, looking for hot Italian chicks to bang when he was there visiting the Pope while his wife was home pregnant?
Yeah. Come on, we'll do it live!
Allegedly. According to the smoking gun phone sex transcript that I, for some reason, have a photographic memory for.
We're just searching for fact. He'd argue with people that believe in religion is like multiplying by zero.
Eric in Iowa, you're on with Carlos.
Yeah, I'm concerned about these midterm elections a little bit, and I just wanted to touch on this. I've been involved in this healthcare battle for years, and the Obama administration has no one to blame but themselves on not going for the more liberal, more aggressive, public option. Now, I understand why they couldn't pass that with Lieberman and all that.
Ugh,
that's fine.
Lieberman, but, douche.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, after that, they still hold the Senate, and every single year, they should have brought up a public option, Medicare, Part E, and that could have been the message that, hey, if you don't like some of the things, here's your option. Mm. And everybody will run an election to say,
I guess because they don't operate the same way Republicans do, where they voted to repeal it 51 times knowing it wouldn't happen. I mean, the Senate knows they could have put that forward 51 times, but it wouldn't have passed the House, So...
I guess they didn't want to waste time.
They believe in actual legislating and not just, stunt legislating.
It is steps because, obviously, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton tried it during the 90s to get some sort of health care reform passed. It does come in steps. It will not... Do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Ooh, very
good. That's a really good quote.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you enjoy, boys, Steak and BJ Day? I don't know if you missed it.
Sorry,
absolutely.
What?
Christina Aguilera took to Twitter. The holiday was actually, it's observed on March 14th, but she said, hope you all cashed in this month on Steak and BJ Day. Mm-hmm. If not, celebrate tonight.
Kind of a different version of Surf and Turf.
Yes.
I was not aware of this.
No.
Basically, Steak and Sausage Day.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Carlos needs an escape from Vagina Island every now and again. Because your daughter's in a little bit of a...
Snit?
Right, a little bit of a phase.
She's a difficult... Age?
She's Kardashian in it a little bit. Being a little Kardashian right now.
What happened the other day? You were saying she was at a playground?
She went to an indoor playground date yesterday and decided to take her underwear and her dress off and throw it against the wall and go, and two other mommies go, leave me alone!
Oh, dear.
All right.
She's going through a bit of a...
Yeah, I'm going to have a discussion with Father Karras on a bench today in Georgetown. See if he can come along and help.
Although, I feel her pain because I probably did something similar when I was a child. I was high strung.
Yeah, yes, you were.
She's high strung. She's a clever girl, rather highly strung. Yes, she should be. That's from Fawlty Towers. No, she's lovely. She's just going through jealousy stuff. She's awesome. She's got energy. I like her.
She's
love
plucky.
You.
Sounds
she's
like
got
she's
spunk.
Got spirit.
She's got
don't
spunk.
Don't crush your child's spirit.
No, you can't. It crushes you.
I'm guessing Rick Santorum would not approve. He's, a bigwig Hollywood producer now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Right. He's Echo Light Studios. Have you auditioned for them?
No.
No.
Yes. He's premiering The Redemption of Henry Myers on the Hallmark Movie Channel.
All right.
Uh-huh.
I guess they need programming.
Right. He said, message of the movie, the message for everybody out there is, how do we forgive? How do we forgive? And by what process do you have to go through to do that? You mean you for your disastrous run, Crothy? Your... All the stupid things you said in your presidential run, how do we forgive?
The most successful message movies don't bludgeon the viewer over the head with a sledgehammer with the message.
Really?
Yeah.
Not so entertaining?
It sounds like he's trying to beat his
Here's the message. You get it? Huh? Get it now?
Yeah.
You get it? Get it yet? Huh? You get it? Huh? You get it?
Oh, that's entertaining. By the way, here's some magical news, showbiz news to end with. John Travolta and Adele Dazeem are friends now. Mm-hmm. Or Idina Menzel, as some people call her.
Oh, they are friends?
Yeah.
She said he was really gracious, and I sent this gorgeous email, and we're buddies, and it's all cool.
BFGs now.
Adele Dazeem.
BFF Jones.
Adele Dazeem.
Someone posted on my Twitter page as Adele Dazeem.
Yes. Someone opened an Adele Dazeem account.
It's a meme.
Yep.
And we're FFBs.
Vinny Barbarino.
All right. Those who rub a hose.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal Facebook, CarlosAlzRocky.com for all your other Alzrockian needs. We will see you Saturday. Madison, we'll see you next week. Carlos, love you.
Love you.
All right.
Love everybody.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.